Now, in today's fast-paced world, the ability to achieve work-life balance is becoming more difficult. Begging the question, does money really buy you happiness? Now, it would appear not, according to the LifeSearch Health, Wealth and Happiness Report of 2017. Now, joining me now to discuss the report, I have Damien Fahey, who's editor at Money to the Masses, and Emma Thompson, who's a report author from LifeSearch. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Now, first of all, Emma, what is the objective of the report?
So what we want to do is just to have a look at how people see themselves in terms of their time spent outside of work, as well as actually within it, what's important to them, and also looking at not only what makes them happy, but perhaps what worries them as well, and then perhaps what solutions there may be to actually improve that work-life balance. And the other thing we looked at as well is whether they've taken any sort of steps financially to actually make sure that they are looking after themselves and their families should something happen to them.
Because there's a lot of demands, aren't there, on us now, and increasingly we're expected to do more, but with less resources. So are people taking this seriously, trying to get the balance?
I think people are. I mean, I think one thing that is good with this is that it clearly shows that people don't necessarily always think that money makes them happy, but that a lot of people will consider making some changes to their life to actually give them a bit more happiness and spending time with their family and friends, which ultimately is what showed made most people happy. 62% said that's what would make them most happy, followed by sort of having a bit of time to themselves and travelling.
Damien, just following on from that, what are the priorities of people then?
Generally, the priorities are that they want to spend time with their family, as Emma said. But the general feel is that people want to change their work-life balance. That's what they're really after. And that means changing their work patterns. So there was a trend that was picked up that showed that more people would like to work from home or become self-employed. And, I mean, that's a real positive that people are thinking about these things, that happiness isn't just a function of money, because money, what it really does is buy you more time because you can pay people to do the things you don't want to do. So in that way, it's a huge positive.
Because I remember I used to have a saying, I want to work to live, but inevitably you end up living to work, don't you?
It's true, you do, but what people need to do is try and readdress that balance, because if you're going to do something, you may as well try and do something you enjoy. And part of that is trying to bring in more time with your family, like the research shows. So it's actually about enjoying your work-life balance, having more time you actually are at home rather than just in the office.
So is it a generational thing then? Does it change as we get older, our viewpoint on this?
It does. Sort of younger people certainly place a higher value on the time they spend outside of paid work compared to older people, over the 55s. They're not necessarily valuing the time they spend out of work quite so much. That could obviously be because some of them have already retired or partially retired. And maybe they've actually got a bit too much free time, or say not too much free time, but perhaps a bit more free time than younger people do.
So much money are people prepared to sacrifice then for a better work-life balance?
So we did ask about whether people would actually sacrifice any of their salary, and 7% were prepared to part with 20%, which is quite a significant amount actually, but obviously not everybody can do that. So some people were kind of talking about the fact that when we pushed them that they would sacrifice some of their salary, but perhaps not as high as 20%, but also, as Damon's alluded to, sort of looking at alternatives as well, you know, going self-employed, working from home, perhaps asking your employer to have a bit more flexibility with your working hours. So some people might try and squeeze their 5-day into 4 days and have that extra day at home, getting things done, spending time doing things that they love and having some more time with their kids. So there's a number of things that people could do perhaps to try and improve their work-life balance without necessarily taking a pay cut, which a lot of people at the end of the day can't afford to do.
Damien, I've actually heard quite a few people saying lately that they would quite happily work a 4-day week, have a little bit less money, but just have a bit more time outside of work.
There is a movement, again, for people to do that. And it doesn't, if you're an employer out there and you're listening to this and thinking, I'm not sure I'd want my employees working 4 days a week. What that often means is people still do the 5 days, but they do it in the four. So they're still working longer hours in the 4 days, but it gives people more flexibility. And I mean, that's a huge positive for the happiness of their employees. And if your employees are happy, they're more likely to stick around. So it's good for everybody.
Trouble is, though, if people are happy, they tend to sing.
Is that a bad thing?
You should hear me. Does it vary across the country, though, this?
It does. I mean, there is a bit of a north-south divide. I mean, London, you know, quite obviously will have a higher average salary, and then they also put a higher value on their worth outside of work. But people in Yorkshire region, they're the happiest. You know, more of them value spending time with their family and friends as the thing that makes them most happy. So there are some regional differences, but overall, I think there's some key messages, you know, that we do value the time that we spend outside of work, which is perhaps unsurprising, but that, you know, there are some things that we could do that perhaps people would be prepared to do to make sure that they have that improved work-life balance. But that also that we do have people that are quite worried about what might happen if they get into poor health, or if their loved ones were ill. That would obviously affect their happiness, but then how do they actually then protect against that? So that's something that we also looked at, whether, you know, if you are worried about not being able to earn, what solutions do you have? Have you got any insurance in place? And that's something that we and other advisors can help with. So that's something that people should certainly be looking at to make sure they've got a safety net in place, and just speak to an advisor and find out what their options are.
Where can we get some more information on the report then?
So our website is lifesearch.co.uk. You'll find all the details of the report there. You'll also find some information about what options are available to you, and you'll be able to access advice through one of our advisors as well.
Damien Fahey and Emma Thompson, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.